This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Ti Xiao Yik with Lim Soo Ann and Juliet Jacobs in the studio. Earlier this hour, we discussed super blocks in Barcelona that are being proposed as a method for urban planning to cut down on pollution, on car usage, and to just promote better communities within a city. And we're moving on to our second story now. But first, we have a Twitter poll.
I'm asking you, how should we tackle hooliganism among football fans? So 56% of you say that we should ban them from matches. 31% of you think that it should lead to an automatic loss of game. While 13% of you say there should be harsher fines for teams.
Yep, so you can take that poll or, you know, tweet us any other thoughts you have on the issue at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. And we're talking about this because last Thursday, Malaysia and Indonesia clashed during their first World Cup 2022 qualifier match. And we're not talking about the clash between the teams, by the way. It's between the fans of the national teams. And if I could take you back sort of 9 years back to December 2010, the now infamous AFF Suzuki Cup final. Malaysia played Indonesia as well at the same place, Gelora Bung Karno Stadium. And that was a match that is still remembered today for the hostile atmosphere in the stands.
Yeah.
So the national coach at that time was K. Rajagopal. He later described it in an interview with The Star. And he said, you know, there were 50,000 Indonesian fans outside the stadium, 100,000 in the stadium itself. The hotel that the team was staying at was under siege. They couldn't even train outdoors, and they had to find like a space indoors to train. When it came time for the match, they had to travel to the stadium in armored military vehicles with like bulletproof windows. They're called barracudas. Ironically, Rajagopal said this very fact that the team got to ride in this, you know, barracudas, I think it appealed to their sense of, you know, being macho. And that's what actually helped improve team morale. And Malaysia won that match, by the way.
Very good. But the barracudas made an appearance again during last Thursday's match after Malaysia's FA requested for increased security. So, but you know, that's okay for the team as they get to travel in the barracudas. Very cool. Pump them up and all of that. Yeah. But what about the fans?
That's right. So we've been seeing lots of videos and tweets and news reports showing how the kind of welcome that the Malaysian fans received in Jakarta last week in the form of stones being thrown at them as they entered the stadium. And if you watch the videos, you'll see like our fans having to, you know, cover their heads and run into the stadium. And during the match itself, bottles and flares were thrown at the section of the stadium where the Malaysian supporters were sitting. And Indonesian fans actually held up these huge banners that form the words F you losers in giant letters across the stadium.
And so Astro Arena presenter and sports commentator Zainal Abidin Abdul Raup was at the match, so he joins us on the line now. Zainal, can you describe the atmosphere on the way to the stadium?
Alhamdulillah, we have reached home safely after a very frightening experience at Gelora Bung Karno. Because on the way to the stadium, a bus carried the fans, have been heckled by the crowds by the roadside. And once they reached the stadium area, we were stoned by them. And even the bus didn't park properly, you know, to go inside the stadium. And whatever it is, we have to run. Run towards the nearby gate to go inside the stadium, and most of them almost hit by the stone.
And inside the stadium itself, where were the Malaysian fans sitting?
On the right hand side of the grandstand area. It's not really safe because it was really open, and because the Indonesian fan up there, and they have the opportunity to throw everything down to the Malaysian fans.
So I know at one point the match had to be stopped because of unruly behaviour within the crowd. Can you tell us what happened?
Okay. It was not shown on television because it would not be nice for the host country. certain Indonesian fans tried to grab our banners and tried to go to the Malaysian fans area just to provoke. I don't think so. They wanted to have a fight or whatever, but they wanted to grab the banners and try to be as near as possible to our fans. And this is where the South Korean referee have to stop the game for almost about 8 minutes. But things were under control. Even though about 7 or 8 of them managed to go down to the track area and almost enter the Malaysian fans area.
Did the fans' behavior affect the team's performance, you think?
Okay, for the first 15 minutes, first 15 and 20 minutes, I should say, it's not really controlled by the authority, you know. You can see how the Malaysian players struggle, and they considered the first goal as early as the 7 minute. But after the equalizer, the team did settle down, came back strongly to score another 2 goals. I believe our head coach, Tan Cheng Ho, did his job tremendously well with regards to the on how to handle the crowds during the match. Cheng Ho did brief the team, the players, about the crowd rowdiness over there. And also some of the players, they had the experience to play there before during their time, during the SEA Games, during the Asian Games time. So I believe they have matured enough about the situation.
Whose responsibility is it, though, to ensure that fans behave well?
Yeah, first of all, obviously, they have to improve the security. And for us also, we have to improve the security with lots and lots of crowd marshal, you know. We cannot put the responsibilities on the police force alone. But at the same time, we ourselves must know why do we go to the stadium. Is it because we love the sport or we wanted to involve in the violence? And I feel for the future matches, probably, if the security is good, then definitely there won't be this kind of event to happen again.
Thank you, Zainal. That was Zainal Abidin Abdul Raub, Astro Arena's presenter and sports commentator. So Zainal has witnessed the matches between Indonesia and Malaysia where fan violence marred the game. So he also cited the 2010 AFF Suzuki Cup final and the 2011 SEA Games final.
Yes.
And our rivalry with Indonesia is not limited to football alone. If you look at the 2011 SEA Games, Malaysian athletes in the karate and badminton events were also booed. And this treatment was not given to other competing nations in the game.
It's special to Malaysia and Indonesia. and I mean, I was trying to think what could be fueling this hostility. And, you know, even just as citizens of the two countries, we're familiar. It's sort of like Malaysia-Singapore,
yes,
but more intense in a way, and especially when it comes to sports. And, you know, it goes back to our pretty complex history. You could speculate that our political and sociocultural dynamics have much to do with it. You know, there are lots of issues taking place on that front. So, for instance, the contention over our treatment of Indonesian migrant and domestic workers, I don't know, even territorial disputes over the islands of Ambalat. Or, you know, if we look out the window now, we see the haze and we are unhappy with Indonesia about that, right?
Very.
On the other hand, some people postulate that it has to do with alleged cultural appropriation. I have a hard time believing this one. But just to give you an idea, UNESCO a few years ago recognized batik, officially recognized batik as belonging to Indonesia. And there were some media reports that, oh, Malaysians are not happy with that. There have been allegations that our national anthem, Negaraku, was plagiarized from an old Indonesian Koroncong song. But, you know, when I was doing my research, I couldn't come up with any solid evidence that Malaysia has officially laid claim to Indonesian culture and art forms. So it just seems like this is stuff that the media is playing up.
Yeah, just kind of coming up with different theories. It can't just be this hatred of sports or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, Malaysian fans are not completely blameless either. Mm-hmm. I think it was back in that same 2010 AFF Suzuki Cup final. During the first leg in KL, the Indonesian team claimed that Malaysian supporters had shone lasers directly into players' faces. Mm-hmm. And then in 2014, Malaysian fans behaved badly towards Vietnam fans during the AFF Suzuki Cup first leg semi-final. They threw bottles and flares. Mm. And at that time, the then youth and sports minister Kari Jamaluddin chastised Malaysian fans for their behaviour as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this time around, the current youth and sports minister, Syed Saddiq, has demanded for justice. He lodged a formal complaint to the Indonesian government. And meanwhile, the Football Association of Malaysia has met with the Asian Football Confederation to lodge a report with FIFA.
Mm.
And Indonesia's governing body for football, so Persatuan Sepak Bola Seluruh Indonesia, is now worried that their fans' behaviour could potentially adversely impact their bid to host the 2021 FIFA under 20 World Cup.
Mm, because if you look at FIFA's disciplinary code, this is something that they take quite seriously. So they have stated in the code that host clubs and associations are responsible for order and security both in and around the stadium, before, during and after matches. And all associations and clubs are liable for inappropriate behaviour on the part of their supporters as well, which could include behaviours like throwing things, using laser pointers, like you said, Juliet, making offensive gestures or words, or disturbing national anthems when it's played at the start of the match.
Yeah, I mean, if your team has to, travel around in armoured vehicles, I mean, what sort of hope do you have for that bid then if that's happening?
Yeah.
I would imagine, right?
But I just can't reconcile, and I'm not a huge sports fan, and I'm a casual one at best. I'm struggling to reconcile this type of behaviour by fans, because you are there to support the players on the pitch. What you want is to see a great performance out of them, and hopefully a great match, right? Where both teams are good matches for each other. What do you get out of hurting the supporters? It does nothing to improve the game.
I suppose they hope that, the players will be affected, because it has a trickle-down effect, I suppose, right? And they hope that the players will also get affected by it and, just throw the match in that sense, perhaps. I don't know.
Okay.
It's some weird psychology going on.
But then in that sense, you're just fans of the people themselves and not the sport itself. Because if you are a fan of the sport, you would be there to watch the game itself. You would want to watch an engaging and exciting game between the teams, and not just hoping that the team you support wins and the team that you don't loses.
Yeah, because, you'd want to see their actual prowess being played out, because if you're just hoping to reduce their morale or throw them off, where's the sporting spirit in that? I don't know. I think I'm very naive.
No idea. That's hyper-masculine, I don't know, camaraderie in ganging up together and attacking.
Yeah, and I think that is symptomatic of football in particular. I don't really watch other matches. I know that in badminton, yes, there's a huge rivalry between Malaysia and Indonesia, but I've, in my knowledge, not seen that kind of behaviour among the fans.
No, it doesn't get violent, isn't it? When you watch any other sport, you still have that fan support. You will hear the fans perhaps...
a healthy level of heckling, right?
Yeah, it's cheering more loudly, or it's just a words heckling. Like, it's not... You're not throwing flares into the pitch or actively trying to injure the fans of the other team.
Yeah. I mean, considering that, there's more underlining this rivalry than just the sport itself, we know that there has to be, because Indonesian fans don't treat the supporters of other national teams like that. They reserve it for Malaysia. And so, I mean, how far do you think things like the, FIFA's disciplinary action and whatever sanctions that they can place on the team, how far would that go? How much can you control people's innate tendencies?
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? I mean, who do you blame, right? Who do you to penalize or punish for this bad behavior, right? So I guess the automatic one is always the team. So like what we asked in our Twitter poll, do we does that result in an automatic loss of the game? But, you know, as you guys pointed out, these people don't seem to be interested in the game itself as just to, you know, kind of go there and act badly. But I'm not sure about that, actually.
I mean, if you look at English football, they have been cracking down more harshly on racist behaviour. So supporters either, you know, making racist comments or showing gestures, especially towards a lot of the black players in the clubs.
Yeah, they do things like throwing banana peels at terrible things like that to affect them.
Again, the teams are liable, the clubs are liable to have disciplinary action taken against them if their supporters behave in that way. But I want to read this quote by a writer, Simon Tisdale, who wrote in The Observer. He was writing about racism in football. And he said, football does not exist in a vacuum. It reflects and amplifies negative societal trends. And in some ways, football is a barometer for our times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the conversation around this is that the right-wing tendencies in Western Europe is sort of like allowing these kinds of sentiments to rise to the surface. Yeah. It's probably always
This is an easy outlet for it.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But I guess things like banning these fans from, I mean, that's been a key weapon, isn't it, to actually ban them from coming for matches. Or I think in England, I can't remember what it was that triggered it, but, you know, they even banned these people from taking public transport or from not just attending matches. So they were not allowed to take public transport or go to the town centres on match days, you know. So these were kind of like, they weren't even allowed to travel internationally for football matches and things like that. So these were the kind of measures that were taken to try and, I suppose, curb this behaviour.
To really hit them where it hurts.
So you can keep that conversation going. You can share any thoughts you have about football with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can also message us on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture.
Okay, we'll get to some comments on this issue, on the two stories that we've been discussing today. After a few messages. But first, here's the life of Riley with Lightning Seeds.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier, we discussed two stories. In our first story,
We discussed the idea of superblocks, which has been implemented in Spain. So these are areas where there are very restricted cars allowed to use the roads, so it's more for pedestrians. And we spoke to architect Mustafa Kamal Zulkarnain about the possibility and feasibility of implementing that in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So we received received a tweet from Farhan, who CC'd us and redirected us to an older tweet that called on Fahmi Fazil, the MP for Lembah Pantai, to ask that DBKL look into the concept of super blocks for KL in areas such as Chinatown or Bangsa to be car-free zones and giving back these areas to pedestrians.
Yep. I would love that idea, actually.
It'd be so much more fun to, you know, go to these places. Yes. But again, accessibility, I suppose, is always the issue, right?
But you see a lot of cities already doing it. Australia is a great example.
CBD,
where
you know,
that's right. And the shopping areas become much more vibrant, I think, because of the pedestrianizing of it. In our second story, we looked at the Malaysia-Indonesia match for the 2022 World Cup qualifiers, where we discussed fan behavior during football matches and, you know, how that impacts the team's performance, and, you know, whether fans themselves need to take on that responsibility of having better sportsmanship.
And that's why we asked, we had a poll on Twitter that asked, how should we tackle hooliganism among football fans? So 52% of you said that we should ban them from matches. 33% said that there should be an automatic loss of game, while 15% said that there should be harsher fines for teams. So we also received a few tweets on that. So Malasaya said that if you are able to arrest the hooligans, you could ban them. But more often than not, they aren't arrested. So find the teams concerned is the best solution. So Jasmine WhatsApp tweeted in to say that to ban them from matches is the safest and possibly more effective measure, because if you're fine, you can still have repeat offences. An automatic loss of game, fans may react more violently and even worse than before. So Faizat saying that You could use all three options, and also playing behind closed doors is another option which should be managed as well.
Mm. So playing behind closed doors, that penalty or sanction has been dealt out to teams before many times, and the idea behind that is to deprive the team of gate revenue. But you know, the problem is that we still see issues like this persisting, and so I guess it's something to think about, whether the football authorities just need to be stronger in the enforcement. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sanctions are there for you to use, right? How do local football authorities and the international ones make them work?
Yeah, and I think it's only when it comes to situations like they aren't allowed to host a particular sporting event where they'll actually really sit down and crack down on this sort of behavior.
Yes.
Or you know, unfortunately, if somebody gets killed, which we've seen actually happen in places like in Indonesia, for example, as well, you know, not between countries, but in their own inter-country matches, fans have killed, you know, fans of other...
Yes.
Yeah,
within the clubs
within
in
the
Indonesia.
Clubs, yeah, there's this huge rivalry. So, I mean, really, something really needs to be done.
Mm. So we can't just accept hooliganism as part of the sport.
The game, yeah.
Well, that's all the time that we have. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news on Live and Learn, we have a Malaysia Day special looking at tokenism in the media, where Sumitra Selvaraj will be talking to two media practitioners from Sabah and Sarawak. So stay tuned for that. But to take you out, here's Elvis Costello with Lip Service, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.